You're listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. Tonight, we talk about Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
You no trouble. Me, fifth element. Supreme being.
You will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death, praying for war. But until that day, you are cute. Sound off like you got a bear.
Yes, I was wondering what would break first. Your spirit or your money?
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
God is dead.
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament,
yes.
Mr. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Dead
fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes, the dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Skies, I've had these wandering eyes, but you took me by surprise when you let me inside of you, inside of you.
No, because it's a comedy, we're not calling out Nicholas Stoller.
Who the fuck is Nicholas Stoller?
He's the director.
He made all your favorite comedies in the last 20 years of your life.
Really?
I don't know.
I don't know what your favorite comedy. The Muppets Most Wanted.
Pretty much every Jason Segel movie ever made.
Goosebumps and Storks.
Neighbors. Neighbors 2.
Hardly Neighboring.
Zoolander 2.
Get him
sex
to the Greek.
Tape.
Is he writer of those ones?
That was a director, sir.
No, sex tape?
We'll table the get him to the Greek writing conversation.
Okay.
Anyways, we're meandering.
Welcome to the podcast, Movie Crew Podcast, Movie Makers Talking Movies. We're your host. I'm editor Brian Elkins. With me here tonight, cinematographer Jared Callen.
Aloha, Brian.
Aloha to you. You want to do the luau with me?
Yes.
It's a hula. No, the luau, you know. Ridiculous. All right. We're not going to just repeat every fucking line from the comedy, I promise you, and laugh at it.
That's how comedies work.
We also have with us director of photography, Mike Griggs.
Peter, go back to your room. Peter, go back to your room. Go back to your room.
No, I just want to repeat all the lines from this comedy because it's the best. Hey, what's up? What's going on?
Can you put on some clothes, Griggs? So we can do this podcast.
No, because I know what that means. If I put on clothes, we're not going to talk about it anymore.
Oh, speaking of clothes, we also have costume designer Kristen Jones.
Hello.
Hey. And here we are talking about, I think, our first Judd Apatow produced movie. I think this is the first time we've even talked about this guy, like, ever.
Really?
Well, we don't normally do comedies like this, so, you know, we get around to it eventually.
Yeah, this was kind of like a, you know, historical, like, a section of the early aughts, you know? This guy
we
was...
Really doing sorry, I thought we were only doing it because it has Dracula in it.
Just keep it on theme. It's a nice transitionary...
It's a transition, like, yeah.
We're just easing off of the Dracula. It's still there for the people who need it.
Okay, good.
Best Dracula I've seen in a while.
It's true.
What?
Fuck you. This one's actually fun.
This is surprisingly enjoyable for a comedy movie. Yeah, I'll give it that.
Even for a Judd Apatow movie. This is one of the better ones for sure.
Yes, I made a mistake and watched a bunch of these because, like, I hadn't seen them in forever. And
what are these? What is that category of?
Oh man,
lumping this in.
I started off with Pineapple Express.
Oh, which, what? Really?
I remember that being good, and it was
really
fucking terrible.
You remember it being good?
You why do you remember that being good?
I don't know. I made a lot of mistakes when I was younger, all right? And then I watched This Is the End,
Also terrible.
Oh, fucking terrible. Oh, really bad. I watched that one twice in like 2 weeks or some shit because of circumstances. And I was like, what am I doing with my life? Oh, I need new friends.
And then I put in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. And then about halfway through it, I remembered that they made like a spinoff sequel to this, Getting to the Greek. And then I watched that. And I just kind of I started to stop after that. I took a couple days break. And I came back and just started watching Jason Segel movies because I couldn't do any more of the Judd Apatow stuff.
That's the right call.
That's
actually
accurate. Yeah. Yes.
Jason Segel is a wonderful human being, and I have appreciated pretty much everything the guy has ever done. The Muppet movies are a little bit kind of reaching for it, but I appreciate them for what they're trying to be.
Yeah,
I appreciated his first one.
Yeah, the first one was really fun.
Yeah, the one with Tina Fey was okay.
I actually don't remember that one very well.
It's forgettable. Yeah. Had a bunch of cameos. I do remember that. But I can't remember fucking who they were.
Exactly, yeah. But that's the way Muppet things work. It's always cameos or quick jokes. But didn't really stick that well.
This one, on the other hand, has, I don't know, do you feel like it stood the test of time? This is a 2008. Now we're a long time in the future.
I thought it was pretty damn funny. And I love all the uncomfortable shit. Like, just it opens so strong with full frontal nudity in such a, like, a standard type scene, but just the nudity makes it so uncomfortable and awkward that it just makes it fucking incredibly funny.
I think it's a really nice mix with that raunchy type of humor that was popular at the time.
Yeah.
But also with the weird humor with the whole Dracula thing. But also, like, I was really surprised because I haven't seen this movie in a long time, but I was really surprised at how actually like this does portray relationships and like they have healthier conversations in this than like any movie I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I was thinking that same thing. I was like, I don't remember them having like such strong, like good, direct communication. Most movies don't seem to do that shit. They're just like, we're going to assume things and then assume them wrong and then we're going to have conflict because we assumed wrong. Mm-hmm. Or we could just, you know, be human beings who have problems and then work through them. And I really appreciated that about this movie.
Yeah, because normally, like, when you try and do, like, real, like, life things, like, real relationship issues, for example, you take it, like, I feel like people take it way too far. And I thought this was, like, light and funny, even when it was serious and, like, you know, Kristen Bell's crying on screen. you know, it's like, yeah. It's nice. It's nice because it's just a moment and then you have another joke and it's kind of, I don't know. I thought this is actually way more what real life is like. Why do you always have to be like screaming and crying and everything has to be dramatic?
I really enjoyed that. Like, we're kind of on the guy's side the whole time. We're seeing his woes, but like, you know, toward the middle third of the film, we get her side of it and it kind of like puts the world in perspective from her side as well. And it adds a lot of weight on that way, which you never really get to see in something like this.
Yeah.
Which I really, really enjoy. And you're like, holy shit, he was a cunt as well. You know, and they both kind of have this moment. Yeah.
He was a cunt because he didn't get off the couch.
That's right. He quit
giving up in the relationship and like, you know, he just gave up and was sitting around and just
and his whole life. He gave up his whole life and she's carrying him essentially. And it's implied that she carried him for a long time.
What? No. Look, Sarah Marshall's a bitch in this movie. She can go fuck herself. Like, all the way go fuck herself.
That's not untrue. That is not untrue. Yeah. No, but this movie shows you is that, hey, he also could have shown up differently in this relationship.
Yeah.
He could have also made better choices.
But, I mean, it was clear that he did not, like, his lifestyle, you know. What I got from the flashbacks was that he was always unhappy.
Yes.
Because he was doting after her because she was obsessed with herself because she's a self-absorbed actress.
I think he was obsessed with her because that's the only thing that he could focus on, which is also a lot of pressure for her. She's a self-absorbed actress. You can't be an actress and like not be. You have to. Like, that makes sense, I think.
Yeah. I'm not blaming this guy in his relationship because he wants to eat a bowl of fucking Fruit Loops, the size of a beach ball.
I definitely judged that, please.
Oh, come on. Act like you've
I would break up with him, too. I have never done that. I would break up with him, too.
Girl, you know you want to sit down on a couch and have a man feed you a giant bowl of fucking Fruit Loops in your mouth while you're watching your stories. Don't even lie.
Absolutely not.
That is
half the cereal would be like fucking soggy and gross before you'd even get through that size bowl. Like,
I don't even
Get a normal size bowl and eat seven of them. Like, what the hell?
Eat it quickly. It's not a slow
thing. No, didn't you guys see what he was doing? He was drinking a little of the milk before he got through all the way. Yeah, no, he had this thing worked out, guys.
It's a milk cereal balance type thing, you know.
Just because you have crutches when you're depressed doesn't mean that you should, like, you know, continue to do them.
The cereal is a metaphor for his life and relationship. He's pouring too much in and drinking too little out.
Exactly. Mike has the vision.
The world is so big, like a giant bowl. You can't fill it up.
I don't know. I thought this guy was, like, literally living the dream. I was like, man, look at that. Just working out of your house, wearing your PJs and the sweatpants every day.
Watching TV on the couch with a giant bowl of cereal instead of actually doing your work.
She's like, yeah, he's what not are you actually doing?
Yeah, come on.
I'm working. Well, what are you eating?
That's the dream.
That's too real. That is working from the house. Oh, no, I'm totally on that. Let me get through this video game real quick. All right, safe. All right, okay.
Yeah, I think that is what is endearing about this movie, though, is there is enough reality that it feels relatable, even though these are supposed to be like Kristen Bell is supposed to be a high level actress or, you know, moderately high enough to be like, ooh, everybody knows her. But like, they're still fucking human beings. And I feel like in so many rom-coms and especially like the raunchy Judd Apatow style, like, people become caricatures of themselves. They, like, for the sake of being the butt of a joke or being a setup, and this, everyone feels really, really well rounded. Like, every character in this, even all the, like, the little side characters that you meet every now and then. And I think it's really solid writing.
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed all the side characters, especially the guy. He's so high and he cannot remember anybody.
We had like a whole conversation. That's cool, man.
That's cool, man. Yeah.
No, I loved all of these characters. It's like, yes, I know I've met every single one of these people in this film. And I don't know, I really enjoyed that. And they're all there, just they're all kind of existing and doing their thing. And I feel like that's unusual to see in movies.
Get a lot of pain behind your eyes.
Mila Kunis's character does get sidelined a little bit, and because there are so many characters going on in the movie, she does get the least to do, which is a shame because I think she's like one of the best things in the movie.
Oh, that's absolutely true.
The biggest crutch in the whole film. You figured like you'd have a like. What do you mean? Like leaning on with him, like trying to. That's his new relationship outlet. You know, to forget about Sarah Marshall.
Well, that's what makes it a rom-com, though, is that relationship.
Right. I think the other reason that she's sidelined, even though this is a rom-com, is that she's not supposed to be his whole world. She's not replacing Sarah Marshall. He has to find his own footing.
Yeah.
And he has to become a person because he was not a person in that relationship. He just gave what little bit of humanity he had to, like, worshiping Sarah Marshall, like all of her other fans. He needed to like find his own backbone and find his own footing and become a person. And so Mila Kunis' character helps him do that, but she's not like the main character. She doesn't become his whole world.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a level of balance that we almost never see in these kinds of movies, which is, I think, what I find so endearing about the film as a whole.
I will agree that I love Mila Kunis' character the most, and I would love to see her more than most of these people. But I think the balance there is really good in this movie for what it is. She's not the main character, sadly.
Yeah. So. Well, and like, we as the audience don't have to get obsessed with her because she, like, so for so often, like, when it comes to male characters, like, female interactions with them are just like just the impetus for them to change without being fully developed characters in and of themselves. Or they're just like, oh, the girl's gonna get kidnapped, or she's gonna get killed, or, you know, some kind of like the reason why the guy has a journey to go on. And this is like, no, you're not really a person, and she is a whole person. She recognizes that. She likes you, but like, hey, dude, like, figure your shit out. And he's like, okay, yeah, you're right. That just doesn't happen.
I absolutely loved, but then not only that, but because he got his shit together, she got her shit together too.
Yeah.
And she's looking at schools. Like, it was so nice to see two people inspiring each other to be better and having a relationship around that, around being like their own people. I'm waiting for you to disagree, Brian.
No, I mean, look, it's a fine movie. It's just, rom-coms are just fucking horror films with kissy scenes instead of body counts. That's all they are. It's like the most predictable fucking goddamn genre, like ever outside of horror films. Like, you know what's going to happen at the end every single fucking one you watch. You know the guy and the girl are going to end up together.
They did that. They ended up together.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
I like the nice bookend, and you can also see, you know, where he's naked at the end, but you also have that same difference of how Sarah Marshall responded to him at the beginning and how Mila Kunis responded to him at the end, and you can see that he has his life back on track. And also, you know, the fact that he instantly knew that she was going to break up with him tells me that their relationship is not all cute and happy like you think it is, because you watch that, The Hollywood Reporter, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
the second she's like, hey, he's like, oh, you're breaking up with me. Like they clearly have issues that we did not see. And I also loved how they did the flashbacks.
The flashbacks are great.
Perspective and Kristen Bell, Sarah Marshall's perspective of, you know, she's realizing he's not as bad as she thought, and he's realizing, actually, yeah, I was not happy. I was unhappy. And I like that progression as they are coming to terms with what happened.
Yeah, I think that's the part that I enjoyed in terms of just like being relatable as an audience member, are like those kinds of memories are the things that you kind of think through, or at least I've experienced thinking through, like triggers when you're trying to explore a new relationship, or like getting over old shit and thinking about this is why we're in this position now, because of all this shit that happened. And seeing it from both characters' perspectives is a really, really nice touch.
Yeah, because I think it'd be too easy just to say that she is a self-absorbed actress and her new guy is just this like pretentious asshole. Like, I love that whole scene where they're surfing and Jason Segel's like, actually, you're really cool. I understand why she...
Damn it! Why are you so cool?
I like that about Russell Brand's character. You know, he's this kind of wild and crazy guy, but like every time you see him and, you know, Sarah Marshall together... They're having a good time. They're doing good relationship stuff. You know, like they're actually a good couple for each other. There's nothing really negative going on there, which I really like that.
What do you mean there's nothing negative going on there? What are you talking about? Did you watch the movie?
Yeah.
About Sarah Marshall and Russell Brand?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like they're the hanging out. They're doing they're in the hammock and all that. It comes out later that he's been sleeping around and all.
Fucking terrible together. Wait, no. Russell Brand is the biggest asshole of all time. Like Sarah Marshall even calls him out. Like he's got all these fucking religious tattoos on himself. She's like, these are all conflicting ideologies.
That's just his character, man.
I know. He's just so full of shit. He's so full of shit. I also like it too.
Yeah, but it works.
When he's at the restaurant, he's just like, I just believe that I should be able to fuck everyone. Whenever I want to.
So you're
telling
me anyone, anywhere, anytime. Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And it's made even better by his Tommy Bahama shirt that he's wearing.
Yes. Dude, he's just so, yeah.
He's so pissed about it. Oh, God, I love it.
I think this movie caused me to fucking hate Russell Brand. Because I don't,
really?
I don't think he's acting in this movie. Like when you see him in stand up, he is playing this character.
Okay. Is this the first time that we got a hint of like who he actually is? Because I remember thinking this was a character, and then shortly thereafter, I was like, oh, that's not a character.
No, now he's all crazy Christian. He's not like this anymore. You know?
Because a bunch of women accused him of like sexually assaulting them.
He's like, I need to flip the script.
Didn't he like? Didn't he kind of like pull a Jared Leto and like have his own cult for a little while, or
oh my god,
oh,
wow.
I wouldn't be surprised.
That's great.
Maybe not. No,
did
but
Jared
I think
Leto
he
have his own cult.
Yeah, Jared. I think he still has his own cult.
I think it's
yes.
called 30 Seconds to Mars.
Oh.
And I think Russell Brand was trying to go in that direction for a little while. Didn't he have like a like? Because I would get like advertisements for some like.
You could move to Waco, Texas, and
Earth
also be
channel. No, not
fan
for his
of...
cult. Can you advertise for cults? I feel like that's illegal. But
it depends on which part of Instagram you're on.
Yeah, that's fair. But he had like his own like TV show or something for a little while about stuff like what he's doing in this movie.
I don't know, but hey, yeah.
I didn't watch it. I don't know.
It sounds like a thing that could happen. Yeah.
Now he's doing like, you know, total like crazy Christian stuff on Instagram and. You know,
really?
Yeah.
Is it like an active Christianity, like you could pick, or is it like one of this like, because there's like a pipeline?
No. He talks about Jesus.
Of people who start off like he's is in this movie, and then like find Jesus, but they don't join like your traditional Christianity.
Uh-oh.
They or have like some new age Christianity? Is that what he's doing? Which one's he doing?
I don't know.
Oh, interesting. Okay. We'll find out. I'm excited for this journey.
He probably thinks he is Jesus.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Like exactly. He thinks he's Jesus. Like, and so that's like a special type of Christianity that's not, I would not call them Christian in the traditional sense.
Yeah, he looks like he's gone full MAGA and quick scrolling through Instagram, or at least he's got Trump.
A mix of universalism and new age spirituality.
Yeah, that sounds like it. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I can see that.
Anyway, this was the first time that I realized that he was like this, because I thought this was totally a character that he was playing.
He's like, you want me to do what? Be myself in front of everyone? I can do that.
Was that little British voice right there supposed to be me?
Thank you. I was trying to set that one up, and then just... I'm glad you're here, Jared.
Yes. Who was that little? Was that Jonah Hill? Who? No,
yes.
That wasn't
Jonah Hill.
It was.
Yeah,
that was so great. I enjoyed so much. That too.
It's definitely from the hotel. It's not from me. It's definitely from the hotel.
He's just so blatantly obvious about everything he's doing. He's just like, yeah.
Which makes no sense, because like in the sequel, Russell Brand is like playing the same character, same musician and everything. What's his name? Aldous Snow or some shit like that.
Yeah,
right? And Jonah, yeah, get him to the Greek. And then Jonah Hill's playing like a completely different character. So when I first put that movie in, I was like, oh, Jonah Hill's back from the Hawaii club.
All right. Wait, it's not the same fucking guy?
It's not the same guy.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, his character's name is different.
Okay, I've seen that, and I swear to God, I thought it was the same fucking character. Like, oh, he just like finally like moved up in the world to become the record dude or whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was the same world. Yeah.
Yeah. It's supposed to be, yeah.
Same world. This is about a million times better. I would not recommend getting to the Greek.
Damn. Yeah. Not revisiting that one. Cool. Thanks for that.
It's got a semi-funny, awkward threesome scene, if that's your thing. You know? You know what? Let's play the trailer. We'll be right back. We're going to play the trailer for Nicholas
Stroller?
Uh-oh.
Oh, you're not going to bring up the director? You're not going to bring... Oh, sorry.
Jared, I actually brought it. I was looking at the name, Jared.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We'll be right back. We're going to play the trailer for Nicholas Stoller's Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
You almost said get him to the Greek.
I did. All right. Go fuck yourself, Jared.
Hey, you got here fast. I got a surprise for you.
Peter, as you know, I love you.
Are you breaking up with me?
Pete, are you, we're leading different lives. It's like you're standing on the dock and I'm in the lake.
Sarah, I swear to God, I'll jump in the lake like a merman.
Do you want to put some clothes on?
Would you like to pick out the outfit that you break up with me in?
Sexy crime fighter Sarah Marshall has been spotted cozying up to singer and notorious Lothario Aldous Snow.
She's dating somebody. And until I do the same thing, I'm going to feel like I want to die.
Hi.
Do you mind not saying that?
Do you want to gag me?
Kind of now. I had sex with this woman who I barely even know. I'm really scared that I have an STD, Doc.
Peter, I'm a pediatrician. Have you noticed you're sitting on a fire truck?
Everywhere I look, I'm reminded of her.
Why don't you go on a vacation?
I could go to Hawaii.
Welcome to Turtle Bay and enjoy your stay. Peter. What are you doing here?
Came here to murder you.
This is a disaster.
Go someplace else.
I'm not leaving here. It'll look like I'm running away.
Wait, why are you whispering? You're not following them, are you?
Get out of there.
Peter.
You okay?
That hurt. But I know Sarah, and I'm pretty sure I just ruined her day.
I'd like to grab some dinner, please.
Is your girlfriend joining you?
No.
You just by yourself?
Yeah.
If you want like a magazine or something, it's gonna be boring. I just would be so depressed.
Oi, oi, why don't you come over and sit with us?
Did you see her boyfriend? He is ridiculous.
I like her hair. I wonder if the carpet matches her pubes.
This spring.
Get out of your head. It's really nice out here.
Are you gonna jump or what? Come on, Peter, I can see your vagina from here.
I'll jump.
Universal Pictures presents...
My homie over here on this honeymoon. Are you giving to a hard and rough...
The wife wants me to do certain things.
No.
God would not put a playground next to a sewage system.
A comedy
about getting left behind.
You need to get back on that board.
Oh, wow, you got coral on your leg.
Can you get out of my leg, please, hotel man?
You sound like you're from London.
And coming out ahead.
I think it's good you're getting out there.
I think you need to move just a tiny bit further away from the microphone. Okay. No closer.
Oh.
Now a little further.
Okay.
Closer.
And then...
Oh, I know what you're doing. You stop that.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
That's a great necklace, Liz. Did you have that a second ago?
Oh, that's gross.
That wasn't the trailer that played.
Yeah, that would not be the trailer.
Right?
No, yeah, there's no fucking
TV.
Way.
That's no, that's the R-rated, R-band theatrical
the
trailer.
The red band.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
That's the red band trailer?
Red band trailer.
It was with indeed.
With nudity.
Well, with an ass. Anyway, welcome to the... we're back. That was the trailer for Nicholas Stoller's Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Did you forget what it was called?
No, it was... I did not like that trailer. The trailer was not very good.
That trailer was really bad. Yeah.
Yeah, all the charm was not there.
But they tried to put all the jokes in it anyway.
Yeah. There was no energy to it. It was just blah, blah,
It was cut too fast. You didn't have any moments for, like, you know, beats.
Yeah. And that song.
What were you going to say? Do we remember what?
I was going to say, do you guys remember the marketing campaign for this?
No.
I was in Chicago, I think, when this came out, and what they did was, for like, I don't know, a week or two or three, they were just a couple of signs, a couple of billboards in random places that said, "You suck, Sarah Marshall," and there was no information about the film, nothing. It just said, "You suck, Sarah Marshall," and to the point that people were like, like a disgruntled person just like buy a bunch of ad space. It's like nobody knew what was going on, but everybody was talking like, who is Sarah Marshall?
Oh, wow.
That's good.
And then after like a couple of weeks, they came out, they would have like the full rollout, and everyone of course realized it was a movie because they had like actual information on the poster. But it was very clever, I thought, but it also made me not want to see the movie because I was like, what kind of movie
really
does this? Yeah, well, if your tagline is "you suck," I feel like it's not for me. It was very clever, and I remember it to this day. But yeah, no, it did not make me want to see the movie. And if that was the trailer, I definitely did not want to see the movie.
I did not see it in theaters when it came out. This was a movie that I heard of word of mouth later. Have you seen this film? And I did go watch it after that. But yeah, what about you, Brian?
Man, I've never had a conversation with this with anybody about this movie. I did not see it in theaters. I got it on Blu-ray when it came out. It's like one of those, you know, back in the day when you went to Best Buy and you could just pick up a new release. Yeah, it was just one of those. Took it home, watched it. I've seen this maybe like two or three times. Comedies are not my favorite genre, okay?
I enjoy them as a genre. It feels almost hard to talk about like from a craft perspective. Like, I mean, it's a fun ride. The movie does its job. Nothing's like really egregiously like weird or wrong or something about it, like on a technical perspective.
Yeah, but like doesn't it just feel like, you know, but like when you're looking at it as a movie, it's great for all the little crazy jokes and uncomfortable situations that were put in. It makes it feel a little bit more like TV. But it's just talking heads. It's let's walk over and land and have this like conversation, and it's over. And it feels like a lot of, think of like the beach scene where they're sitting on the beach and they're talking. The way that that's like cut together, it feels like that they had to like struggle to find that edit. You know, it feels the editing.
Which beach scene?
I don't remember. There's a scene where they're sitting on the beach talking.
Who is the they?
Them in this movie. No, it's Mila Kunis and okay. I don't know their character names.
Sorry, I think there's several beach scenes. That's why I was like,
confused. There you go. But anyways, yeah, it just feels like the editing is a little clunky at times, and it's just all really simple.
I think the one thing that I noticed the most was how many of the shots with like, where they're not directly on the beach, felt like they could be green screen.
Yes, I was thinking the same thing.
And I don't think it's because it was actually like green screen. I think it's because someone in the DI suite decided that they needed to make the backgrounds darker, and so you can like see all the cutouts where they had to do like fucking power windows around them.
It's really compressed,
lot of the
too.
It feels very.
Whatever. Comedy is an actor's genre. Like, I don't know. It's so rare.
It's true.
That's somebody actually like puts I don't want to say love, but like actually puts like filmmaking in a comedy, you know?
Well, watch The Hangover. It's like shot really well. They actually craft scenes and stuff.
Yeah, it's just a stupid fucking movie, Jared. It's about some guys that get drunk one night and they, you know, it's just kind of stupid.
Yeah, I know.
It's just dumb.
I know, but at least it's still a shot well.
That's like saying like, oh, what if American Pie was good looking? Like, I don't care. It's about a bunch of kids that still want to get fucked. Like, I don't, it's, there's
yeah,
no story. Like, I would much rather watch the movie where they all get slaughtered. If you're going to be a bunch of annoying assholes, die.
I mean, that is how I felt like that movie should have gone.
What, American Pie? It just switches into
not American
fucking...
Pie.
Okay.
No, that'd be great.
It's a slasher.
It just goes into a slasher. They all die.
Mom comes home and finds out that the pie's been fucked and she kills everyone.
Stifler's mom has been doing it the whole time.
Well, tell your mom we ate it. You know, like...
That was your grandmother's recipe.
No, the Hangover movies like actually kind of make me angry because they are so dumb, but they are like executed. They look like a movie. They look like a film.
Yeah.
They look really good, and I want to like them, but I'm just
but
like,
they're
these
just
are
just stupid.
Fucking pretentious, entitled white pricks being assholes, and like, what? I don't care. I don't want to.
Yeah, but why, just because it looks good, why do you have to suddenly like everybody? Like, you can have it be...
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm predisposed to, like, think that the movie is better if it's done in, like, a really well-executed way, which kind of juxtaposes with this, which is, like... It, like Brian is saying, this is an actor's movie. It's this Jason Segel's movie. This movie is fun and endearing because he's a great... I enjoy him as a person, and he wrote such a fun movie. But like, there's not a lot to this that I'm like, oh, wow, look at that fucking shot. Like, look at the way they framed
it's
this.
It's all real
like,
simple.
Oh,
yeah.
It's
even broadside
that's a shame,
lit, most of it.
But I think that's actually why I don't care for dramas in general as a genre, is because just because you can make someone cry and you can make it look pretty doesn't mean it's a good film. I think it's way easier to...
We're talking about
to,
every Robert Eggers movie like that.
Right, exactly. Like, it's way easier to make someone cry than it is to make them laugh. Like, come on. Like, what are we talking about? I like, you could take something like this movie, which has an amazing script, and you can make it, like, why can't you make it look good? You don't have to kill everybody at the end. Not everything has to cry. Like, what are we talking about?
No, it's not about crying. It's about taking the time so when I'm, like, I'm watching something, like, I have something more to think about than just the story. Like, I can go back and want to rewatch something for repeat viewings. You know, like, I don't know, your scripts, it, like, if you don't have, like, filmmaking quality, because that's why we're watching, you know, a film, is because we want the visual, you know, medium. Otherwise, fucking pick up a book or, you know, consume your story in a different way. It's not rewatchable out, you know, I mean, unless you just really like the writing and the actors. But, I mean, I don't know, it, like, even Woody Allen does this stuff, and I think his movies look pretty fucking amazing. Mm. And it's, like, layered and... I don't know. I enjoy rewatching those.
I agree. I do think that that's, if I had to complain about this movie, it would be that it does look like TV. It does not look cinematic at all. But it could. It, like, there's no reason that it doesn't. They could have put time and effort into the way this looked, but they...
It's lit okay. It's just the coverage and stuff is so... It's just really simple. It's just talking heads. It's let's just get through these dialogue scenes is all this is. There's nothing.
Let's set up a world for these actors to then play in for 3 hours and then kind of like, yeah.
And some of it like definitely felt like, oh, there was a really good improv joke there and we need to be able to get around that somehow.
It definitely felt like they had multi-cams though going.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Most of it was.
Yeah.
I think I noticed that there was some weird editing going on, and I think that was because of the improv jokes that they were trying to, like each scene, each take was a different joke, and they were trying to make it work. And I think it does work, but yeah, it does look a little funny in some places.
Maybe that's why there are so many scenes where the backgrounds look, like, super dark, because, like, there was clouds and things changing in those backgrounds, and, like, they had to match something somewhere. Mm. I was looking for reasons for it to make sense, and I couldn't find it besides just someone gave a weird note from the studio or some shit.
You can see them constantly fighting the fucking wind, too. And there'll be like one shot, and everyone's hair's like, and the trees are going crazy, and then they'll cut, and then it's like, I'm a tree, I'm kind of moving.
Same thing with the light sometimes. Sometimes they're in shadow, and you cut back, and then the whole scene is now super bright.
Well, I think those were the classic, like,
I'll say it, TV show moving fast kind of things where they put up a 12 by for coverage and close-ups, but not for the wide angles.
Right.
Yeah.
I was impressed considering that they were outside for a lot of the time. How nice the hair looked in this.
That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. Everyone looks real pretty in this movie.
The clothes I felt very uninspired by, but I also thought they were like, you know, fine. They were fine. I thought they like, it was
2008.
For 2008, that's perfect. And for, you know, what everyone is doing, perfect. And I also appreciated the variety of Hawaiian shirts that they used.
There were a shitload.
No, that line where she's like, well, you go back and you change your shirt, and then we come back and he looks down like, what the fuck? What's wrong with my shirt?
Yeah. I feel like, actually, this sort of costume design is not my favorite, even though like I can tell that someone took the time and effort and everything is perfectly coordinated. It looks so bland that this is the kind of movie that someone would look at, someone who doesn't have any like real experience, and would go, oh yeah, my actors can just show up in their own clothes and look like this. And that is not how it works. So I would like to point out that there is still a costume designer putting everything together, even though this looks like they showed up in their own clothes. That's because she did her job. Okay.
That's a really well articulated point. Yeah. This is the kind of movie I think about when someone says, oh, everyone's trying to show up in their normal clothes. Like, so you're hoping for that, but how do you know that?
Yeah. You hope for that, but that's not what happens. Cause
that's not how it fucking works.
100%. But like every single time, it doesn't matter how many clothes they bring. It doesn't quite work. And I still have to bring a whole suitcase full of clothes. Because you have to make it cohesive.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to, but if you want it to look good, you do. And this is why you should always have a budget for clothes. You know, just throw that in there. But yeah, it looks fine. It looks fine. I also appreciated when Sarah Marshall is having her like little moment of insecurity and she goes to talk to Mila Kunis, and she's wearing that pink dress. I haven't seen a dress like that since 2008. It was enjoyable to see that.
Yeah, she looked real cute in it, and to have her be so perfectly insecure, like, no, you're really pretty. Like, oh, look at this real moment between two people.
Yeah, actually, it was a really nice moment between them.
I don't know. It was so much unspoken tension.
Yeah, but like, I honestly think that was the scene that makes me love this movie, because it's like acknowledging everyone's emotions. Like, they were both two real people, two real characters having an actual conversation that real people would have. Like, maybe everybody wouldn't necessarily always be that nice, but, like, you felt both sides of the thing. It wasn't just, like, I don't know, two-dimensional. The fact that you can feel an awkwardness from such a simple exchange is pretty well done.
Yeah.
We haven't even talked about the rock opera in this.
Van Helsing went flying through the air.
I like his little kicking feet in the way that he can bounce around. It's pretty badass.
I have to say, when I first watched it, I think that might have been my favorite part was the rock opera and the songs. And I think at the time this came out, Avenue Q was popular, which I really loved also. I don't know if you guys have never seen Avenue Q. Do you even know what it is?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
No.
Oh my God.
You're speaking a completely different language right now.
Okay, so Avenue Q was a wildly popular Broadway show. And it was, I think the story is that the guy was a disgruntled Sesame Street performer, and he like was fired. I don't know. And so he made his own show with puppets, and you know, people are coming, there's like live people, it's like Sesame Street but for adults, and it's like very raunchy. You guys would actually love the sound. You guys would all love it, actually, but the soundtrack is also really great. And this was popular at the time, which I think is why they put in the rock opera into this movie. And it was great. I enjoyed the rock opera also. Yeah, and I was a little sad that they didn't actually develop something around that.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame we didn't get the whole version, right? It should have been an extra feature on the DVD.
Yes.
That would have been fun, yeah. I don't know, I think in terms of like the genre where you expect to have some big fucking moment between the characters where they're like, I mean, you have the montage where he's growing and riding the thing and like getting better and doing like the jogging and taking care of himself and...
Yeah.
Like it's kind of the normal progression, but like the fact that you don't really
see her involved in it, and then it's such a fun way to do like a finale for a movie like this. Because like without that, what else would they have done? Like, oh, they got together, cool. Like nobody cares. Like this is something that you it helps you to feel more for the character. It takes the audience on a little ride, and it's so fucking unique. What other movie has a Dracula puppet rock opera?
I don't know. When you get to the end of the movie after they've been apart for so long, that is when you do realize it's like, oh, they've only really spent 4 or 5 days together.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
They bring that up. You know, exactly. It's only been four days.
Yeah.
Which, you know, but they also do. He says something about, like, this is interesting. I'd like to see where this would go. Like, they're not fucking getting married. She didn't move to San Francisco to, like, get married or, like, move in with him. Like, she shows up to his fucking performance without telling him she's going to be there.
He does invite her, though. She doesn't just, like, she's not like a star.
Yeah, he right. sends her the flyer.
Yeah, no, but that like, was his version of, you told me not to
and
call
she's
her
there,
right. Yeah.
She's not there to, like, profess her love and say, yes, let's get married. She's exactly. there to look at schools. She's there for her own self. And if it works out with him, fantastic. I like that.
Yeah, let's try something. That's what these movies should be. You know what? We found someone. Let's try something and see where it goes. Dope. That's realistic.
I mean, it's not the love story of Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock in Speed, but, you know.
Oh, I thought you were going to say The Lake House.
No, I specifically
that was the setup for that reason.
No, because you also, like, in between their two meetings in Hawaii and, again, in on the mainland, like, you have that whole scene where he, like, has this little crash out and he's like, I need to go to a doctor. I need a psychiatrist. Like, he's not in a place to start anything with her.
Yeah, exactly. I love that they show that about his character and, like, give you this level of knowing where he's at. But then also, like, I don't know. I just feel like so many fucking rom-coms are just encourage people that are unhealthy to continue being unhealthy in unhealthy relationships. And this is maybe that's why this movie kind of speaks to me, is that like it's real people just being fucking real, and that doesn't happen very often, and I like that. That's still just in the writing. That's not, you know, the filmmaking side or like cinematography or some shit, but fuck, man, I like it.
Yeah, it shows that it's just that's the thing that steps it out just beyond a standard slapsticky stupid comedy.
Yeah,
is that there's actual human stuff in there.
Speaking of slapstick, I thought the sound was a little too much when he had his, like, you know,
when he was flapping his dick
flap,
around.
Flap, flap, flap,
it was
flap,
a little
flap.
Too much. Yeah, it was a little. We could have turned that
Kristen,
sound down.
Kristen, that was 100% realistic.
I didn't say it wasn't. I said we could have turned sound. That down.
No, I thought that was great. And I actually remembered in the trailer we watched, I was like, it's slightly in there. And I was like, wow, they left that sound in there.
Yeah. Yes. They should have brought it up a little bit more. Yeah. Needed a little
helicopter,
bit more bass
helicopter,
on the
helicopter.
End notes.
To imply the weight.
Exactly, yeah. Right?
Oh, man, yeah. I think that was a stunt cock, or is he rocking like that, guys?
Apparently it's real.
I think that it looked like
Dude, there's just some really good moments with it. You know, like every time it's so shocking, you're like, oh, fuck. Oh, it's good. Especially there at the end. That quick one at the end got me so hard, man. This movie had me laughing out loud at times, so that was a fair play on that one for this one.
You know, when they do male nudity, though, I wish from now on we could have, like, instead of the penis being perfectly, like, right down the person, like, right where their nose would be, like, just... Let's just have the cock lean in one way or the other, just a little bit.
They're fluffing it, man. Know? They're making sure you know they're presenting proper.
I can't
show a realistic looking penis.
I want to see a realistic looking penis. Come on, let's do it right.
These are the things we need to fix in our cinema.
That's what AI is here for.
Yeah, we need more full frontal, and it needs to look accurate.
No, not a crooked dick, just a little off to the side.
Oh, it's a little too Uncanny Valley on that.
You get a cock with like a pretzel shape.
No one hangs to the right. What are you doing?
Oh, I hope that was also a liar, liar callback. How's it hanging? Short, shriveled, and to the left.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, my God. I am a child.
a fucking child. Oh god, dick jokes are still funny. They'll always be funny.
Woo. Does anybody have anything else, or are we at ratings? Oh, I guess we didn't go over budget and box office. This was a giant hit, of course. Budget was $30 million, and it made $105.8 million worldwide.
Well done.
That sounds, yeah. 30 was kind of actually what I anticipated.
Yeah, but they actually shot this in Hawaii, which I was surprised by.
Yeah, which is why some of that stuff that feels like it's on green screen, you're like, no, this is real. It's just like odd and compressed and weird.
It's it's that classic thing that I think of when I'm trying to shoot something and make sure it doesn't look like I'm shooting on green screen. Like don't separate your background and your subject so much that it feels like they're not even still in the same fucking world. Like what are we doing, guys?
Or you have that Dean Cundey, like, hard light?
Hard light is fine, but if you're going to spend the money to go to a fucking place like this, then make it look like you're there. Don't shoot everything, like, starting on a 60 millimeter and just have fucking medium overs where it doesn't – you don't have any connection to the background.
We at ratings? Who's going first? Everybody's really quiet, so I guess I'll go first. Cut out that silence so I sound like a crazy person. I'm gonna go with 9.5 just because I'm gonna take a half a point off. The shooting's not bad. It's not bad. It's just it's very vanilla looking. The writing's really good. The acting is very strong. I think everybody, you know, Bill Hader is the only one that kind of feels like
he's a character.
Yeah, he feels like he sticks out as not a real person, him and his wife. But everybody else feels great. The movie. I feel pretty good with a 9.5.
That's a really high score, but I don't really see any other reason that it shouldn't be that high. I think this movie is really entertaining, and you're right about Bill Hader. He feels like he's putting on a character, and it's not him, you know? He normally plays a different style of character, and that one is just him being the straight-laced, like, oh, I'm so offended with what you're doing, man! Stop that! That is just like, what? No. That's not you, bro. But yeah, I'll give it a 9. I thought it was really entertaining. The style of the shooting is just a little bland to me. But that's a fucking comedy, right? But you know, we should aspire to more. If we're gonna spend so much time on all the writing and the acting, let's make it look a little better. Even though the lighting was pretty decent. But for also being almost 2 hours, it's very entertaining for the entire time. Very rarely was I like, you know, oh man, this needs to kind of move. It did push itself really quickly. It's just like, you should go to Hawaii. Boom, we're in Hawaii. You know, there's no, it just moves.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no forethought to that. It's like, wait, oh yeah, no, boom, we're going to Hawaii. But yeah, this is very, very entertaining, and I will definitely watch it again.
All right, who's going next?
I do think this movie is very entertaining. I do think it has some visual issues that we have sort of discussed, but at the end of the day, when you have a good script, it doesn't really matter. And we also forgot to talk about how Mila Kunis is crazy and the fight on the beach, and I loved all of that. And I thought that was one of the funniest scenes in the whole movie. And yeah, this is...
Thought that was so hot.
We don't see that in our rom-coms, okay? Like, where are feisty women? Like, we just don't see this. In-
yeah. And appreciated for the feistiness.
She was so badass in that. He's like, wow, you just became a firecracker. Like, what the fuck was that?
When you have a good script, nothing else really matters. You have a strong foundation, and people are willing to forgive a lot of the other things because they don't care. Because it's entertaining. This is more than entertaining. I also think this actually has like pretty healthy, you know, characters in it. People who grow and who progress and who change, and you can see clearly that they are working towards something, and I think that's kind of amazing. And it's entertaining, and you're laughing, and you're also talking about your like feelings. Like you're not, it's not just some surface level thing. But yeah, so I'm gonna give it a 10 because I really liked it.
Wow! All right, we got a 10. Griggs, what's say?
Oh man, I fucking love this movie. Like this is the kind of movie that I want these sorts of things to be when there's comedy, when there's romance. Like I want real people who are actually like dealing with things in a healthy way. I don't want like the bullshit, oh, I'm supposed to fall in love with you, so I did, or I'm supposed to this. Or, like, this genre can be so formulaic that I appreciate any movie in this whole category that can actually make me feel something that feels relatable and real. So I love this movie for the writing, and I feel like this is a really good example of if you have a good script, you can make a good movie. If you don't have a good script, you make a shit movie. Like, this is a good movie because it started as a good script. Like, at some point you have a good script and you have a good, like, lead attached who fucking wrote the movie, Jason Segel. I'm glad this movie didn't get fucked up from the directing. You know what I mean? Like that could have been one of those, another story like this. I think the cinematography is one of the few things that actually is somewhat lacking, but I don't know if it's the cinematography as much as it is like the way that they had to do some of the coloring in post-production. I don't even want to like deduct a point, like a half a point at best for some of those visual things that feel for like where it's like, okay, this is a $30 million movie, but because it was filmed in fucking Hawaii, why do some of the shots look like they spent like 3 days on a soundstage trying to recreate this like interior hotel room stuff with the beach looking out? Like, those are the only parts that kind of pulls me out because I'm looking for it, because I'm a filmmaker, because I have trained my eyes to do this. When I first watched this movie 10 years ago or whatever, I didn't notice any of that shit and I fucking loved it. I think it's really fucking solid. I love all the side characters. I love the fact that we have so many multidimensional people that are just on screen for a little while. Like, they could have just been cameos, but they're still real characters and real people. That's not easy to do. This movie's fucking great. I'm going to give it a 10.
Oh, a 10. All right. This director also did that, the gay, rom-com,
Bros.
Yeah. Has anybody seen that?
No.
Yeah. I've seen the trailer a couple of times and it does look pretty funny. Yeah. I haven't watched it yet.
With ample laughs and sharp performances, Forgetting Sarah Marshall finds just the right mix of romantic and raunchy comedy. Rotten Tomatoes brings Forgetting Sarah Marshall in with an 84% tomato meter and a 76% popcorn meter. It's a little low on the audience side, I would
I'm
say.
I'm surprised by that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of get it. You know, like, not every, the awkward comedy thing's not for everybody. Makes some people uncomfortable.
I don't like awkward comedy, and I enjoy this movie. This is like the threshold of it for me, honestly.
All the old ladies are like, oh, that's a penis!
Oh, my land, I'm only okay seeing titties.
Oh, this director's got that, he just did You're Cordially Invited, that Reese Witherspoon, Will Ferrell movie that's on
Oh, really?
Amazon, yeah. I'm looking them up, yeah. Do not want to watch that. That looks terrible. That looks like some generic trash, but I don't know. Maybe it's good. Anybody got anything else?
No.
All right. So with that, you've been listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. You want to get in touch with us, you can do so by sending us an email to moviecrewpod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Movie Crew Pod. Jared, where can the audience follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at CheckTheGate.
Griggs, where can they follow you?
I'm on Instagram at Griggsy Media. That's GRIGGSY Media.
And Kristen, where can they follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at Kristen Magdalene. That's Kristen with a K and an I.
And you guys can follow me on Twitter at Elkins Edits. And we're going to close out. You know, I feel like we talked about it so much. We got to do Dracula's Lament, right? Yes, I mean, it's please. Either that or Inside of You, but I mean.
Oh, both are classic. Oh, man, we didn't talk about all the songs in this.
It's nearly a musical level movie.
It is not anywhere close to
that. No, yeah.
It's okay, it's my preferred musical level.
just so like this and Love Actually, like, oh, you're like, these are the perfect musicals.
No, I don't need anybody expressing their emotions via song. I just need a few songs to play that give us emotions.
I think we should play the Dracula song.
All right, all right. We're going to close out with the Dracula's Lament.
It's getting kind of hard to believe things are going to get better. I've been drowning too long to believe that the tide's going to turn. And I've been living too hard to believe things are going to get easier now. I'm still trying to shake off the pain from the lessons I've learned. And if I see Van Helsing, I swear to the Lord I will slay him. Ha, 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 ha! He'd take you from me, but I swear I won't let it be so. Ha, 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 ha! Blood will run down his face when he is decapitated. Ah! His head on my mantle is how I will let this world know how much I love you. Die. 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 I can.